Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
Now, here's Sean Dickinson.
And Jim Cosimore. Warriors This Week. What's up, Coz?
I'm doing well. I'm ready to roll. I was watching last night's game. You were there. I'm getting my NBA itch. It's scratched. My itch is getting scratched.
We're going to have to wait, though. Us in the Bay Area longer than anybody else.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's up with that? So you it get starts the, Tuesday, right?
The NBA season starts on Tuesday, but there's only two games.
Yeah. Is that the TBS tip-off to the NBA season? We get two games, one of which is supposed to be the coming out party for the next super duper star.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Zion Williamson, DNP, injury.
I'm sure they're loving that New Orleans Toronto game.
Perfect way to tip off the NBA season.
I think that is so awesome.
The number one pick in last year's draft, or this year's draft.
Yes.
Out due to injury and out for a few weeks. And something that actually, in a roundabout way, benefits the Warriors because the Warriors have the Pelicans a couple of times early in the season on their schedule, including the third game of the season and in the first week of the season on that first trip where the Warriors will open up Thursday against the Clippers. And then they're in Oklahoma City for an afternoon game on a Sunday right out of the gate. How about that? And then the second of the back-to-back sends them to New Orleans with the Zion Williamson-less Pelicans. NBA season starts Tuesday. There's two games Tuesday. There's a whole slate of games Wednesday, just about everybody plays, but not the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors wait not only until Thursday, Coz, which is day three, but they are the last game at 7:30 Pacific on day three.
Well, they get their own space for their own reason. They get to really open the Chase Center. We've had a couple of the soft openings with preseason games and concerts. Now you get the real deal. As I watched the show last night on NBC Sports Bay Area, I know Rick Welts. I think Rick was on for the entire game. They'd show like two possessions, and they go up to the booth and show the guys up there in the booth, and there was Rick right in the middle of it. And I've seen Rick Welts in person. We've had great conversations. I've never seen him smiling wider than he is now that the building is up and running and functional, and it seems to be doing what they exactly hoped.
Yeah, and Stephen Curry joked after the game that it still has new car smell. Like the building, it literally has new car smell.
Yeah.
Like
you were there last night.
You walk into the building. I took a lap kind of around different areas to get a feel for it.
That's
on,
so cool when
on
you do
game
that,
night.
Isn't it?
It is.
It is kind of cool.
It's about 4:45. So it's, you know, well before a few players warming up, but nobody's really there yet. And I'm thinking, this place still just smells brand new.
Yep. It has a new look. Now, I have talked to somebody who described it as it's a place with no soul. And my retort to that was, you have to have time to have the soul grow, right? You can't pick up the soul from one location, transport it to another location, and the soul continues. This is, if you think of it in a different way, a chance to build a brand new soul, which I think is exciting. And instead of saying it's kind of hollow, it's antiseptic, it's waiting for a soul to be put into it. And that soul is going to be provided by what goes on inside the building, not just on the floor, but by the fans who attend. So I'm looking forward to seeing it grow over the years because this is going to be, I'm hoping this is a 100 years building.
And I think they're hoping it.
Yeah.
It's a 100 years building. And so that's going to be a huge part of the storyline on Thursday night is Warriors opening the season. The Clippers are in town. And it's going to be the first game, obviously, at Chase Center. We got a great show for you here for the next 4 hours as we squawk everything Warriors and NBA. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We will be joined by Mark Medina coming up at 12:30.
Looking forward to that.
Now of the USA Today, and also we will be joined by Gary St. Jean.
Love St.
At 10:30.
Phenomenal.
Love Gary St. Jean. So he's going to pop on by. And a lot of phone calls today as well as we gear up for the regular season opener on Thursday. I'm just going to ask you right out of the chute, Coz. Of all the question marks the Warriors had coming into the preseason, and look, this is going to be a very different looking squad. You feel better about the Warriors right now than you did 3 weeks ago? Where are you at? Gauge for me where you're at now that you've seen them play five preseason games.
This is probably going to be sacrilege, but I do not think this is going to be the easiest upcoming season for the Golden State Warriors. I think that we will still be entertained by the stupendous nature of what Steph Curry can do. I think we will still be energized by what Draymond Green can do. I think trying to find where the new pieces fit after that. D'Angelo Russell is going to be an interesting piece to see how it works there. How much does he need the basketball? You and I both saw him last year in a game totally destroy an NBA team in the fourth. He scored 25 points in a fourth quarter of an NBA game and totally destroyed the opposition. And you and I were both in the building.
He's a very streaky player.
He can be, and when the streak is good, man, you roll that hot hand. But I think there are so many question marks. I think there are so many soft areas of where the roster stands right now. And by soft, I mean, I'm not sure what I'm going to get from Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm not sure what I'm going, I think I know. And I'm telling you, sometimes it can be good, but sometimes it's not so good. I'm not sure if Marquise Chris is going to be there. If he's going to be there, what am I going to get from him? So I think this is going to, I do not feel, listen, I'm excited the season's about to start. I'm excited this is a new look team because I like seeing new looks. But I'm also, I got a, my foot is kind of heading toward the caution because I don't want to get out over my skis. I think, John, that this is going to be a season where we don't sit back and say, yeah, they're going to be able to put it on cruise control for about a month and a half, and they're still going to be a one or a two seed. It ain't going to be that type of season.
We've gone from the regular season doesn't matter at all to the regular season is everything.
It's a great. You know what? It took me 4 minutes to say what you said in a sentence.
I mean, it just that's exactly where the Warriors are now. The regular season, really, for the last 2 years, I would say minimum. You maybe even could say three.
Yep.
Although Kevin Durant coming in for his first year, I think, how would that all work and getting him acclimated and how would all the star power function? I think that first year there was a conscientious effort by everybody to make him feel welcome, to try and fit all that talent onto one squad. But after they won the championship the first year Kevin Durant was here, 2017 in that summer, I think the last couple of years it was more about, all right, roll the balls out. What's going to happen in May? What's going to happen in June? Will we be healthy? And if we're healthy, nobody's going to beat us.
Dare I say there will be no load management issues with this team. They're going to need people healthy playing games in order for them to remain NBA Western Conference significant. There is a chance that we get to April and they're hanging on to a bottom four seed. For people who think they're going to be 1, 2, 3, or 4, I think you're going to have a comeuppance. I think they're going to be a 5, 6, 7, or 8. That's where I think the Golden State Warriors are.
I don't think that's crazy. And I'm actually going to take it a step farther.
I didn't want to.
I don't believe right now, today, on October 19th, that the Warriors are a guaranteed playoff team.
You know what? I will agree with that. I will absolutely agree with that. I think that there are some teams where you can look at and say, yeah, I think they're going to be a playoff team.
I've got 5.5 locks.
You got 5.5 locks?
As I go through it.
We'll go through it. We can go through some of that if you want. Because I think that there are some, when all the moves were made in the offseason and both LA teams kind of loaded up, you started to think, yeah, they're going to be in. Yeah, Denver, Houston added a guy. Yeah, he's got him. They're going to be better. San Antonio's always solid. But you said 5.5, huh? That's interesting.
And San Antonio's my half.
Okay. Okay, because I, if you go back to when the circus of offseason moves happened, I think I was at 7, who I had as locks.
Yeah.
And
there's two teams. I could make it 6. I think San Antonio is actually better than they were last year.
Okay. I'll give you that. And that's fine. To me, if they are, I think they are a playoff team.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference.
Yeah, definitely. And look, the simplest way to say it is I put the Lakers in and took Oklahoma City out from the teams that made it last year.
There you go.
I think that's your 8.
Okay.
I still think that's your 8 if everything goes as planned for all 8 of those teams.
It's a matter of trying to shake the – put all those as dice into a cup and roll the cup around and then start to let the dice out one at a time. I'm not sure how I could rank 1 through 8. I know the 8 teams – But I think it's going to be a mishmash of where they're going to be. And I would say for now, if the Warriors are one of those eight, it's going to be between 5 and 8, not between 1 and 4.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I think that's fair. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's J.D. and Coase here, 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week until 1 o'clock. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 95.7.95. Are the Warriors a playoff lock? We're just going to throw it out there. Are the Warriors a playoff lock? I do not think they are a playoff lock. I think if they are close to the best version of themselves, they will be a playoff team. But I think there is enough that could go wrong to where things could fall off course to a point where they've really got to fight to get in, or dare I say, maybe even miss if there is enough bad fortune.
If we're having this discussion, are the Warriors to blame for not preparing for this, or is it happenstance? Is it bad circumstance?
I think it's happenstance.
Okay.
And I think you could make a case they've done as well as could be expected given the circumstances to just try and hold themselves up. I mean, I think the D'Angelo Russell trade is, I mean, that you make that trade because you feel without him you don't have enough talent to be a playoff team.
I will say this, and there were those last season when we all suspected Kevin Durant would be leaving, I said the Warriors are smart enough to figure out a way to fill that up. And I quickly got some texts from people in the industry who were telling me, well, they can't afford to do it the way they've paid guys. The cap won't let them get it. It's not like for like. And I said, guys, I'm not saying it's going to happen that way. They're smart enough to know not to lose a guy and have a backup plan. Did they lose Kevin Durant or did they trade him for an all-star worthy guard in the Eastern Conference? I prefer to think of it the secondary way.
Yeah.
Or am I just, you know, looking it through Warrior color glasses?
The way that worked out is a lot better than it could have worked
out. Hells to the yeah, because D'Angelo Russell is a good player slash asset. Let me ask you this. If you want to, I'll play a hypothetical game with you. If they make that deal and Klay Thompson doesn't rip up his knee in the NBA Finals and you start on Thursday night with this roster and Klay Thompson, don't you think you say, yeah, they're one of the eight?
If Klay Thompson is playing, they're a lock.
They're a lock. Like, I have them
as a playoff lock, and I think they could be a top four.
That, you know what? You could have a discussion there. You could have a discussion.
But the question then becomes, and we'll get into this at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The question at that point becomes, because this is what you hear from a lot of Warrior fans, they're going to be fine, and then they're going to get Klay back, and then they're as good as anybody. To me, the key to the Warriors season is going to be, how good can they be in the interim? Can they hold themselves afloat to where it really matters? And what level do they have to play at to where once Klay Thompson gets closer to healthy, he's going to come back, he's going to make an impact, and they can still get in? Those are all the things that we're going to have to get to between now and 1 o'clock. It's Warriors This Week. It's J.D. and Coase, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore, we're with you until 1 o'clock. It is Warriors This Week. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The Warriors in the process of paring down their roster as the Warriors this morning have waived Andrew Harrison, Kavion Pippen, and Juan Toscano Anderson. There'll be some other cuts coming as well as they get down to the official roster to begin the season. The big news from yesterday, Coase, Alphonso McKinney is set to be waived. Hasn't happened yet. And his slot will go to Marquese Chris, who has made the Warriors roster out of the training camp in October.
So he went to Washington. He was a big star high school player, Sacramento region. Was it Elk Grove, I think he's from?
It might have been Pleasant Grove.
Okay, Pleasant Grove.
Yeah.
One of the Groves up there.
One of the Groves.
So he's a big star player, goes to Washington, comes out after freshman year, and everyone thinks he's got this superstar talent. Superstar talent. Goes to Phoenix, and by all accounts is not ready. But not only that, didn't have the best attitude, from what we're told. Has bounced around, found himself in Cleveland at one point on a roster that was just hideous. Things didn't go well. And a lot of people felt this was going to be one of those great busts in the NBA. For everyone saying that you ought to just let high school kids go into the NBA. Here's a guy with a lot of talent, left school early, had, you hope, was some infrastructure around him that he should have been better, and he was no good. He was just not ready as a player. He was not ready personally. And I don't, listen, I'm not knocking him. When I was 18, 19 years old, I don't know how I would have done in that circumstance as well. But he gets kicked around, comes to the Golden State Warriors, is what you might be able to call a last resort, all right? Because it's not like a lot of people are knocking on his door. And he is able to beat a guy out in Alphonso McKinney, who I think has a lot of people who back him. I think a lot of people like him. But Marquese Chriss has a chance to rewrite his own NBA story and do it with the Golden State Warriors. I'll be rooting for the kid. I hope a lot of people are rooting for the kid to do some good things. And yet, with all that said, JD, I still think at best he's a huge question mark. At best, right now, from what he's shown, he's a huge question
mark. He has been impressive, though, in ways that you wouldn't think he would be. Skill, basketball IQ, and he's kind of bristled at the notion that, that people have questioned his basketball acumen when he's been asked about that a couple of times in the last month. And he looks like a fit, and maybe it's being in this system. Maybe it's being around better players.
It could be.
But, I mean, he looks very comfortable with his passing, some dribble handoffs to Stephen Curry. He looks like he understands the offense that the Warriors are trying to run. And he provides something that this team is lacking in a big-time way with Willie Cauley-Stein and Kevon Looney both out throughout the course of training camp. So it looks like it's a nice add, and a guy that, look, I don't think we're talking about him playing 20, 25 minutes a game, but somebody that could play 15, 20 minutes a game early in the year when guys are down, I think that is what we're probably looking at.
You hit on something that I think is ultimately important when you take a look at young guys coming into the league. He goes to Phoenix, has a lot thought of, supposed to be part of that resurgence. You have Devin Booker, who's a young guy. You had Josh Jackson from Kansas, a small forward. You had Marquese Chriss, who's supposed to be the dynamic four, but he can shoot the ball and run all up and down the floor. They thought they were having pieces together, but it was all young guys. Young guys leaving school early. There was no veteran presence there that was important enough to garner attention and help kids understand how to be an NBA star or an NBA player. I think he comes here, and Draymond Green is certainly going to keep him in line. Steph Curry is the ultimate professional in preparation. I think you'll see him maybe learning through watching the way real pros do things, and that might help Marquese Chriss.
Let's hear from Draymond Green, because Draymond Green didn't hold back when he was talked about Chriss, when he talked about Chriss and why maybe things didn't work out on his initial stop.
I don't think there was ever a doubt that he was a legitimate NBA player. Everyone was just kind of waiting on him to turn that corner. It seems that he's turned the corner. You know, I think he's been in some pretty tough situations. No one ever blames the situation, though. It's always the kid. No one ever blames the franchises. Just always want to blame the kid. It's not always the kid's fault. He's getting older now, so he's not a kid anymore. But, you know, he came into this league as a kid. But it's never the organization's fault. It's always that guy.
So there you go.
Taking a rip job at Phoenix and Cleveland.
Those BS organizations.
He's taking rip jobs at those particular
and that's fair.
Teams.
I mean, that's fair. Phoenix has been a bleep show.
I
got no problem with that, and they still are.
They're a mess.
So that's fair or unfair, that statement from Draymond Green applies. Hey, we get this kid in our environment, and all of a sudden, you could tell within a day or two that he's a pretty talented player that could help. And Draymond Green was telling the coaching staff that after one practice.
Yes. When I read that there are players that were going to management saying we want him on our team, listen, you got to listen to some of these guys on the Warriors. They have been great. They continue to be great individually. We don't know what they'll be this year on the floor. But, man, they sure know how to be NBA players. And they did it, and they see something in Chriss, and I think they feel they can help him.
The other part to Marquese Chriss making the team is Alphonso McKinney gets waived, and Alphonso McKinney was in the mix for the starting small forward spot. Mm-hmm. The starting small forward now will be Glenn Robinson III. He won that job. This is another player that Steve Kerr has praised for his basketball acumen. Mm-hmm. and noted that he's more than maybe just the athlete that, that he gets credit for being. A guy that won the dunk contest, an athlete, a dunker. But Steve Kerr said, no, he's more than that. And look, he's going to have a tall ask because he's going to be guarding a lot of the best small forwards in the league for the beginning of games, at least, and the beginning of halves, and that's going to start with Kawhi Leonard next Thursday night. Remember him? Inside Chase Center. I mean, the guy that led the charge to knocking the Warriors out of the playoffs and not allowing them to three-peat is right back against him here on night one.
Can it be a knock on a guy's career to win the slam dunk contest? Like, you instantly forget that he's an NBA player, and you realize all he can do is jump high and make amazing dunks, and you forget what type of a player he is. I'm not sure he's as good as his dad was. His dad was pretty darn good.
His dad could fill it up.
His dad could fill it up, right? At Purdue, he was phenomenal. The guy could fill it up. Maybe he didn't do what he could have, what a lot of people thought in the NBA, but back to Glenn Robinson III. When Steve Kerr said he's won the job, that's high praise, right? That's high praise. You've won the job. But you look at his resume and you see how many different teams he's played for. This is his fifth NBA team. He's had a couple of stints in the D League or the G League. And you hope now is the time to put it together. You know what? This is two straight guys where we're saying the Warriors are trying to resurrect the career of. So is some of what our trepidation at locking the Warriors into a playoff spot that they got more than a few guys who they need to get in line and get major production from in order for us to believe that they are a playoff caliber, a guaranteed playoff caliber team?
I think more so Robinson is going to have to be a fit than Chris. I mean, Chris is around in part because Willie Cauley-Stein hasn't been able to play and Kevon Looney hasn't been able to play in the preseason. Now, it sounds like Looney's going to be good to go for opening night. Willie Cauley-Stein is still a few weeks away. They're scheduled to update his status at the end of the month, and we're still a couple of weeks away from that. So he would be coming back at some point, you would imagine, in November.
But let me ask you something. You and I have both seen Willie Cauley-Stein. I like him personally as a human being. But when he comes back, what's the most you can expect?
I think it's hard to put a number on it. I think he'll be a solid player. I think he'll be a solid player. That
more productive with this unit than he was with Sacramento?
He should be.
Because of the guys around him?
He should be. Yeah.
Because he had a pretty fast point guard who could lob it to the rim. He doesn't want to be a rim runner.
He's an inconsistent player. There's going to be nights where he's going to look great, and it's going to be 14-10, and you're thinking, wow, this guy's really skilled, and he finishes around the basket, and he's running the floor, and he's making an impact, and then the next night he's going to have 4-2, and you're going to say, what's going on with this guy?
He fancies himself like the unicorn. He thinks
literally.
He said that.
Yeah,
he said, that's my game. Because they were playing the Knicks. The unicorn goes off for big numbers. And after the game, Willie Cauley-Stein, and that's part of his check that night, was like, that's the kind of player I am. I can be that guy right there. That's who I am. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think if you're expecting a guy who's going to be a rim protector, you're going to be greatly disappointed. He's not. Unless they tell him specifically, these are the two things we want you to do, rebound and block shots. And I don't care if you get in foul trouble, rebound and block shots.
I think they need a little more out of him, though,
because
they don't have Klay Thompson. They're going to find some scoring. So I think there is a fit there where he can look. He's not going to be a primary scorer, but he's a guy pick and pop, pick and roll.
He can shoot it.
He can get some points.
And you know what? He's a good passer. He's a good passer. So I think guys who are cutting around him, he's going to find him.
It's not that he's not talented for me. It's just that consistency is an issue. And as I've said so many times since they signed him in July, and I'll just repeat myself one more time here on the eve of the NBA season, he is the guy that will go toe-to-toe with Joel Embiid, and the next night Damian Jones will kick his tail.
Yeah, I agree. Now, here's another guy, though. Do we define Willie Cauley-Stein, when he's healthy and able to get up and running, are we defining him the same way we're defining Marquese Chris? Well, he was with an organization that had a bunch of young guys.
Yeah,
undefined.
Although Cauley-Stein's done more.
You know, he has a lot more,
but in fairness.
But with better guys around him, is he a better producer of what he does well? Whereas in Sacramento, they went through some growing pains, right? I mean, he was the start of them trying to become something.
Right. He wasn't brought here to be a star, but he was brought here to be a young, effective piece that fills a position of need. And and maybe you're going to make up a little bit of what you don't have with Klay Thompson by having Willie Cauley-Stein. You're going to get a few more points from the center than you did before. You're going to get, you know, you got D'Angelo Russell to help with that a little bit. You've got Cauley-Stein to help a little, you know, with it.
This from the 415. I think the Warriors are a 6-2-8 playoff seed. I also think they signed Russell out of desperation. I don't know about that. I think they wanted to gain an asset back in the Kevin Durant circumstance. I wonder if the Warrior fan, general Warrior fan, agrees they're a 6-2-8 seed. And if they're okay with it. If you go into the season thinking, they're a 6-8 seed, I think you've measured a pretty good expectation for the season.
I think that's where I would have them.
Okay.
I think it's them and the Spurs and the Rockets are the three that I would put in the 6-2-8 coming in. Some combination of them coming into the season.
All right.
I think the Rockets and the Warriors, though, if you said who are the two teams that if somebody's going to fall out, which teams would be the most likely to fall out, I think the Warriors and the Rockets would be the two teams I would say.
And the 408, if Chris and Robinson can be improved or benefit from being around Steph and Draymond, why can't Willie Cauley-Stein?
Yeah, they can.
They certainly can. And I think that's a lot of what the Warriors are betting on.
Expect solid. Don't expect stardom. That's where I'm at with it. Maybe D'Angelo Russell's a different category because he's already been an all-star in this league, but don't expect, well, Willie Cauley-Stein's going to become a star because he's playing with. No, he's going to become a more consistent version of what he's been when he's been good to this point in his career. There's a level even to that I think we should be distinct about.
So Willie Cauley-Stein could come in here and average 10 points and 7 rebounds a game. Just understand that he will get there because one night he will score 15 and grab 10. But the next night, as JD said, he will score 5 and grab 2. And you'll say, where was the big 7-foot guy? How come he wasn't on the floor? Because he disappears at time. So that's my issue with Willie Cauley-Stein. Here's what I would like to see from Willie Cauley-Stein. And again, I can't tell you how much I like him as a person. He is a wonderful guy, an interesting guy. If he averages 10 and 7, I hope throughout the NBA season when he plays, one night he gets 11, next night he gets 9, next night he gets 10. I hope he's consistent with his production throughout the year. That's a tall ask, but I hope he's consistent with his production and understands what he does because he wanted to do more when he was in Sacramento. I just don't think he was able to.
Let's get to Scott in Berkeley. Scott joins the conversation at 888-957-9570. Scott, you're on with JD and Koza here on a Saturday morning on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Scott.
Morning, John. Morning, JD.
What up, yo?
How you doing?
Good.
I guess what I'm looking at with the West is this. I've only got two teams that I legitimately eliminate as of Tuesday. That's Phoenix and probably Minnesota. As for the
How about Memphis? Would you eliminate Memphis?
I guess my mind is saying that I prefer the younger teams because I'm more intrigued by them.
Okay.
And the only three locks I would have going in would be the Clippers, Denver, and Portland.
I don't know. I think, you know what? Everyone loves Portland. For some reason, I think they have a chance to have a little bit of a dip.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We appreciate it. We had a little bit of a bad connection there.
I know. I thought he was going Morse code on me.
With Scott in Berkeley.
But he was making some interesting points
about...
The Lakers
are in.
You want to do this now or you want to wait? You want to give me your six locks?
Yeah.
You want to do it now?
I'll do it now.
All right, go
for
it.
We can do it now.
Okay.
I think the Lakers and Clippers are in. I think Denver and Portland and Utah are in. That's 5. And I think the Spurs are in. That's 6.
Denver and Portland and Utah. Who's and San
the two
Antonio,
LAs
the Spurs,
and San Antonio.
LA. You don't think Houston's a lock?
I don't. I think Houston.
That's interesting.
I think Houston, if they get off to a bad start, they're going to fire Mike D'Antoni, and then they're going to be in big time trouble. Like they're going to think that's going to put them in better position, and it's actually going to put them in a more precarious position as far as making the playoffs. And look, I know James Harden, Russell Westbrook are committed to each other, and they are committed to making it work and all that. It's not even really about that. It's just, are they going to be good enough? I'm not worried about them being committed, but there's just potential for a bleep show with the Rockets if they aren't good early. And for the Warriors, to me, it's all about health. Mm-hmm. If the Warriors are healthy, I think they make it. If Stephen Curry plays 75 to 80 games and Draymond Green does the same,
yeah.
I think the Warriors make it and they win 45 games. And you know, by the way, I don't think it's going to take 48 to make the playoffs.
That's, I was going to reverse engineer this. Last year, you needed to be 48 and 34.
Although that's a little bit of a misnomer.
To be an 8 seed. And why is that?
Because the 9 seed only won 39. So, yeah, you had to win 48, but the reality is you only had to win 40.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's an excellent mathematic equation.
Sacramento was the 9 seed. They won 39 games.
There were so, 8 playoff teams last year, and the Lakers underperformed.
The Clippers could have been 42 and 40, and they would have made it by 3 games.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Yeah, let's just use the Eastern Conference to butt up against. 41 got you in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So that might be a little bit more true to what the West is this year. Do you think it's as split? Last year, there were 8 playoff teams. You knew it. The dividing line was 48 because the next closest team was 9 fewer wins. Sacramento, Lakers, Timberwolves, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Mavericks, Suns. Do you think it's that divided again this year, or the blend is a little bit more tight? I don't know if you have as many guaranteed lock wins as you did last year. Like, I knew going into Phoenix you had a good chance to win. Dallas wasn't going to be there as much as they had a fun player to watch. Pelicans last year were a hot mess because the Anthony Davis situation was such a pain in the butt. Memphis, I knew you had a chance to win because I think they were in the middle of some issues there that they've certainly righted. Now, of the teams you said are guaranteed locks in the playoffs, I think Utah and Denver are two teams that everyone's sleeping on. Everyone thinks they're a playoff team, but for some reason, because in the media we like to get attracted by shiny objects, it's LA. It's going to be Clippers or Lakers. I think I'm really looking at Utah and Denver as two of the teams that I think will be top four in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think Utah, because it's in Utah, nobody pays any attention. You add Mike Conley to that mix, I think you're in pretty good shape.
I think the Clippers and the Lakers are both top four. I think they're both top four, but of those teams you mentioned, Denver and Utah could be top four as well.
Yeah.
Like that could just be your top four. I think Portland is in that mix. They could be in your top four.
I don't know why I think Portland just has a little bit of a fall off.
But they're a playoff team, right?
They are a playoff.
I mean, so maybe they're 5, maybe they're 6, okay. But they're in. I don't see them. But again, we've talked about this throughout the course of the offseason. All these teams have pairs of stars. If one team has a star go down for the year, and one team probably will, if one team does, that changes the equation. That opens the door for one of those teams on the outside looking in, if it's a Sacramento or a Dallas or a Pelicans that believe they've got a shot to take somebody's spot.
I'm looking at you, Anthony Davis. When's the last time he played 82 games? That's my question to you. I'll tell you, maybe this is my I don't like the Lakers rant, but I know they're a playoff team. I don't see them as a top four. I know everyone thinks they are because they have LeBron. And I will say this. LeBron James, I think, is going to have a really good season. Reason being, his entire career has been spent playing playoff games. And he's one of those guys to have 9 straight years of getting to the finals. His body, there was wear and tear. Last year, no wear and tear. A lot of chance to get better. I know he was shooting a movie and doing his barbershop, and I know he's got all this other stuff going on.
They've been really I know they've played the Warriors, 4 times? But the games were, those guys have played. He's been uber focused. Like, it looks like a different level. Like, what happened last year was an embarrassment, and it's not going to happen. And people are questioning, you know, his durability long term, and this and that. And if his days of even competing for championships are over, I think LeBron James is trying to send a little bit of a message that he's still a force to be reckoned with.
Now, speaking about Anthony Davis, most games he's ever played, 75 in an NBA season, did that twice. Last year, 56, but you have to put an asterisk next to that because he was sitting out because he wanted to get dealt. He was causing trouble. I don't mean he's a bad guy. I mean, he was just trying to get out of a situation. 64 games as a rookie, 67 games, 68, the high water mark in his third year, and 61 after that. That's his first 4 years in the NBA. So you wonder how many of this guy's going to be able to play this year. That's my only question when it comes to the Lakers, and you say, you know, every team has a big two, and if one of those big two is out for a considerable amount of time or misses some time.
But if he plays 65 games, they're still fine.
They're
still probably going to win 50.
Yeah.
If him and LeBron, I mean, it just depends. Now, if they have scenario where they don't have him or LeBron for multiple games,
right,
then I think that's trouble. Well, you don't have both. I mean, then you start to get into the conversation of, okay, how many games can you win?
I will be intrigued at load management for LeBron this year. Will he do it as much as he has in the past? Or will he say, no, I had my time off last off season. I got a chance to watch a playoffs for the first time in my career. I'm ready to go and I'm ready to play. It's not to say he's going to play 82, but I certainly hope he ends up playing more. The NBA did the players a great favor by lengthening the season, giving you more time off. Reward the fans by playing more games. That's my statement. I'm pro-fan in this one.
Let's get to Hunter. Hunter, you're next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Hunter.
Hey, guys. Just with Anthony Davis, outside of last year, the three previous seasons, he played 70-plus games each year. Then last year he got hurt, but then they sat him out way more games than he should have sat out just because of the whole trade thing, and it was a mess in New Orleans. So, you know, if you look at his history, he's been healthy during the regular season the last 3 years, 4 years. Just last year they obviously wanted to trade him, so they sat him out. So you can't really count on him to be injured like how you guys said before. Also, I think the Warriors are just in trouble on defense. I don't think they could, you know, Steph's going to have to score 30-plus a game if they want to score 120 points every game. Thanks, guys.
Sure.
Thanks, Hunter.
I got one here from the 415. Thompson comes back early from Greg in San Francisco. Do you know I am not even considering him playing this year. That's when I look at the Warriors, I don't even consider him playing this year.
Yeah, I don't go that far with it, but I don't think he's playing before March. I really don't.
I know everyone says he's a fast healer. I know he's competitive as all get out. I've seen so many guys come back from these knee situations, and everyone thinks they come back as the same player. You don't.
You can't. Here's what you can't expect, and then I'll get to what Bob Myers actually said.
All right.
But here's what you can't expect if you're a Warriors fan. You cannot expect Klay Thompson to come back and save your season.
Right.
Because if you're in position to need your season being saved, you've already lost.
Boom.
Don't think, well, Klay's going to come back and then this team's going to run off a 20-2 and you know, come from 8 games under 500 to sneak in at 43-44 wins.
And then the most dangerous 7th seed in the NBA is going to be the Warriors.
They're not going to play it out that way.
No.
They're not. If they're in that position where they need that kind of a run, he might come back on a minutes restriction and just to get himself ready for the next season.
That's how I look at this season. Come back this year and get the mental part of the return out of the way. If it's the final month and a half of the season, use it for the mental return. Because I talk to enough athletes in every line of work. The first time they get a real injury, that doesn't mean they're hurt. Everybody gets hurt. But that first time you have a real injury where it slows you down from what your normalcy is, coming back isn't the physical, it's the mental. When I come off the screen, when I want to push off on that leg and I want to explode like I used to explode, every athlete tells you it takes a little bit. Just takes a little bit until you get it. Use the month and a half to get that for the next season, when I think the Warriors will see a better version of them.
Yeah, so I don't think if the Warriors are in a position where they might not be a playoff team, I still think Klay Thompson would come back at some point, but it would come back. It would be come back to knock the rust off to be ready for the next season.
Yes, that's
assuming that he's 100. You know, assuming that he is 100% healthy, which we all believe that he will be.
Right.
Here's what Bob Myers though did say right out of the chute. I'm just going to paraphrase it.
Okay.
But he said that update for Klay Thompson is coming at the All-Star break. He said that on Media Day. The update, like the next update on Klay Thompson, is going to be at the All-Star break, which the All-Star game, I believe, is February 16th.
That means
he's not playing till March.
That means that the Warriors are being uber, like, conservative on this. They are really taking their time. It's not. Remember how it was last year with DeMarcus Cousins? How many times, because you're a super reporter, you're at every stinking game, how many scrums were you in where someone had to address DeMarcus's rehab? Where is he today? What did he do in practice? What was he able to do? And Bob Myers just planted the flag and told everybody,
Oh, yeah. We'll burn a quick one.
Yeah, burn a quick one.
We'll burn a quick one. Eric in San Francisco is going to join us. 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, and you on the phone lines at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. We're with you until 1 o'clock here. How you feeling about the Warriors after seeing them play 5 preseason games? Is it better or worse than before they played any? You go back 3 weeks ago, media day hadn't even occurred yet. Team hadn't practiced. You didn't even know that Willie Cauley-Stein wasn't going to be available at the beginning of things for this team
right.
3 weeks ago today. But here we are, and do you feel better about this team or not heading into the season?
I personally don't feel like we have in the past. That's clear. I'm not on the there are definite playoff team bandwagon yet. But with the season coming close, I am pretty excited that the season is right here. I am pretty excited to see what it means for reals. Right, you can do whatever you want in the preseason. You can have some fun over at the Chase Center. You can throw in 40 on a night, Steph, and whet my appetite a little bit. But when it all gets going on Thursday, I'm pretty excited. Like I said when we started the show, my itch is getting scratched because it's about to start, and we're about to see it for real. But if I have to be honest, I don't feel spectacular 3 weeks later. I don't feel better 3 weeks later from what I have.
A lot of people on the Chilton Autobody text line not liking what the Lakers are doing. Not liking the Anthony Davis-LeBron combination.
Is that Laker hating, or is there some substance to this? Because I also don't feel the Lakers are a guaranteed lock top four. I don't see them as a top four. They gave up a lot of stuff
to get
those two together.
It's fair to say they're not a guaranteed lock top four. I think they're in the top four. It's fair to say they're not a guaranteed lock top four. I think they're a guaranteed lock playoff team.
They're a playoff team, barring spectacular injury. They're a playoff team, but I'm not afraid of them. I'm more afraid of the Clippers than I am. I'm more afraid of everything surrounding the Clippers and all the hungry guys they got than I am with the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That way. Really?
I'm not.
Interesting. So you're not...
But again, this goes back to my Paul George take. Like, I think Paul George... Like, I love the Clippers without the Paul George factor. I don't know about the Paul George Kawhi factor. I know, they're going to lock you down defensively. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. They want to play together, so that's going to be another added positive. But I got to see them... I think they're the best team on paper, but I've got to see how it gels. And I like everything about them. But Paul George, that's the one weird, you know, people say this and that about, LeBron's going to cause this and that. I need to see it.
I'm not as big a Paul. I'm like you in the Paul George camp. Not a huge Paul George guy. I'm not anti him. I just don't see what everyone else sees. Okay? But him not being there Warriors opening night, I still think the Clippers are a damn good team. I still think all the pieces they put together. And oh, by the way, don't think that Jerry West isn't going to be keeping one eye on this game, knowing that he built the Warrior dynasty. Now he is trying to build what would be his third team's dynasty with the Clippers. He had the Lakers, the Shaq Kobe Lakers. Do you give him or not give him credit for the Warriors? I give him credit for Warrior dynasty.
He gets some credit.
He is by far the greatest athlete general manager in the history of pro sports. I think the guy now has his sights set on. He is a competitive sucker. He has his sights set on knocking off the Dubs, and I think he feels they put together a hell of a roster. I think so.
They are the best team in the Western Conference coming into the season.
They're
not going to have Paul George at the start of the season.
But you know what? I still think they're better than most teams in the West.
Even without him. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that because I like Kawhi Leonard that much,
yeah.
And I like their other pieces that much. Eric in San Francisco is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Eric.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, man?
Good. Talking some Dubs. I'm a lot higher on this team than a lot of people. I hear a lot of negativity surrounding. Obviously, after the great run we have, we're not going to live up to those expectations anymore. I think it's going to be a lot more exciting now, being unpredictable. But I do think the Warriors can be a top four seed. I think, first off, Curry, I think, is going to have an MVP-type season. He's going to go back to the pre-KD years where he's just going to be able to go off and dominate the offense running through him. So I think D'Angelo and him are going to mesh pretty well. So I think D'Angelo is going to play it at all-star level. So I think the backcourt is going to be solidified until Klay is back. And then I think Draymond wants that ferociousness back of being the defensive player of the year. So I think he's going to wreak havoc. And he's got that new contract, so he don't have to worry about that. And I think Looney is going to be the same. He's an ascending stud, and I think he's going to elevate and take that next step. And then when I look at the bench, I think Kyle Stein is going to be one of the best under-the-radar signings of the offseason. And then Burks, I think, is going to be a pretty solid guy off the bench. And then guys like a Pascal, or we'll see. I think he showed himself pretty well at Villanova. So when I look at this team collectively, I think we can we're going to be a top four seed. I think the Clippers, Lakers, they're working in a whole bunch of new parts, so they got a long way to mesh. And I think they're going to be looking more towards the playoffs than they are where they're seeding, as opposed to the Warriors. They're going to be playing for seeding. So I think we're going to have a good season. I think Kerr is going to enjoy putting all these parts together, and it's going to be a joyous season. Obviously, it's probably not a championship type season. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't foresee that. But I think collectively we're going to have a really better than expected season. So Dub Nation needs to hang in with this team, and I can't wait for the season to start next week.
All right, thanks, Eric. See, I take all of the positivity Eric brought to the table there.
Yep.
I take all of that, and I say they're going to need all of that just to make the playoffs.
But it is cool to hear it. I love hearing the positivity of Eric.
That's the low. See, that I take it on the low end. I say, and I don't think it's impossible to have what Eric says he thinks is going to happen.
Right.
But to me, that's the template for you win 45, 46, 47 games, and you make it as a six seed, and you take your chances, and you get Klay Thompson back.
Well, if you need that to get to 46 and be a six or a seven seed, where you're most likely going to lose in the first round.
That's the everything goes right scenario.
If that's the everything goes right scenario, imagine if a little goes wrong. You could be getting, the way it's been, I'm interpreting it, you could get to April and you're hanging around going, you might not get the eight. If a little goes wrong, you get to April with a handful of games.
You could get to December and be 10 and 18. And
God, do you think so? I see, in my wildest dreams, I can't see being in December and being 10 and 18.
If there's injuries.
It hinges on, look, listen, on the Suns.
Stephen Curry had a 50-40-90 preseason, right? Mm-hmm. Guy had 40 points in a game. He is primed to be an MVP candidate.
You don't think teams rough him up a little bit more?
I think they're definitely, yes.
There aren't as many protectors out there for him.
He is still, but he is going to have to be an MVP candidate for this team to make the playoffs. Here, if he misses 10 games, this is how fragile I think it is. If he misses 10 games, who are the Warriors going to beat?
Wow. That's fragile.
So when I say...
I want to think D'Angelo Russell showed a little bit of what he can do when he was with Brooklyn last year.
But how many games are you going to win?
But are those 10 he misses, if D'Angelo Russell, it shows but what you and I saw. And I'm not saying he's going to score 25 and a quarter. But if he shows a little bit of what he showed at Brooklyn, don't you think they can weather the storm a little bit? With him and Draymond?
I don't know.
Wow.
D'Angelo Russell's a good offensive player. He's streaky as all heck. He'll get on hot streaks where he looks like he's the best player in the game. Defensively, he leaves a little bit to be desired.
A lot to be desired. He's not known as a lockdown guy. Here's the thing. This season, more than any in the last three, I would say the last five, but I think early on everyone rushed to their radio when they got out of work and they ran to the radio and turned it on real quick to see what the Warriors were doing and got home and tuned it on the television. I think this year will be that year more so than the last 3 years. Last 3 years, you kind of knew some nights, I don't have to worry about that. You'd go out, you do whatever you're doing. What's the score? Because you knew you were in pretty good shape. This year is a year you rush to the radio when you get out of work. You get out of school if they're back east. You rush to the radio, rush to the television. You want to see what they're doing, how they're competing. When they go to Indiana, what's that going to look like? You know, when they go, there are going to be some teams out there that I want to see this Warriors team go up against. So I thought in the past they probably would have been able to just throw the sneakers out and get a win.
I think initially that's the case, but they're going to have to play well. Look, it's fragile. Like this season for the Warriors, like, yes, there's optimism. The regular season matters more. How are the pieces going to fit? Can Stephen Curry lead them to a playoff spot? You know, can he reinsert himself into the MVP conversation? I think all of those things are true, but he could also, as has happened the last few years, miss 10, 11 games in a stretch, and they might go 2-9 or 1-10 in those games, and then all of a sudden your season is...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.